So good morning. Thank you for joining us this morning. It's always so good to be with God's people, amen, and to spend time worshiping the Lord. There's nothing like it. I mean, there's no place like the presence of the Lord to feel safe and secure, amen? If you're going through something, if you're facing trials or even temptations, the place to go is where? The presence of the Lord. Do you believe it this morning? Let's act like you receive it this morning. Amen. 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 Okay, I guess it's time to make our Bible declaration, so let's stand and lift our Bibles towards heaven and say the following. Are you ready? That's good. I'm glad. Are you ready? Okay. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today, I will be taught the word of God. I'll boldly confess my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, let's go. Amen. You can be seated. Now that our study in Psalm 91 is done, I really didn't know what I was going to preach on, but I finally believe I caught the vein of the Holy Spirit. So today we're going to be looking at Matthew 5, verse 13, where Jesus called you and I the salt of the earth. And that's the title for the message today. You ready? The salt of the earth. All right. Jesus was teaching at the Sermon on the Mount when he said this. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? This is Matthew 5:13, if you want to turn there. I'll start again. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It's then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. The reason why it says it's good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men is because roads were made of salt at that time. Okay, they used salt and compressed it, pounded it down to make roads, so it makes sense. Hey, if the salt doesn't taste like salt anymore, we might as well use it for roads, okay? But that's not what I'm preaching about today. It's so quiet in here. I guess that's because you're listening so intently to what's coming, right? I'm going to say something that it was brought to my attention that I say probably every time during a sermon. I don't know about you, okay? But I don't know about you, but I've always wondered why Jesus called believers the salt of the earth and what it was that he was really saying to us. I had always thought it meant that we as believers should make other people thirsty for Jesus, amen? By the example of how we lived our lives. It seemed pretty obvious to me, right? And I think that explanation has its merit. I really do. But it always seems like Jesus, whenever he said anything, had these deeper meanings in mind that could be derived from what he said. Have you found that out? That most of the times when Jesus speaks, he speaks deeper than what we see on the surface. And the way to understand that we are the salt of the earth is to look at the statement contextually, right, in the setting of when and where Jesus said it. Okay? Serena, could you come up and pray for the message?
We thank you, Father. We thank you for being our God. We thank you for being our truth teller. We thank you for being the truth. Yes. We thank you for leading and guiding us into all your truth, Father, that we could be set free, because that's what your word promises. When we know the truth, we will be set free. I thank you, Father, for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear so that we can know that truth. Just not to hear it, but to listen to it, to apply it. Let it be the circumcision of our heart, God,
yes,
with your truth that makes us come alive in areas that were dormant and dead. Let that living seed of your word bring forth life in our life.
Yes.
And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you for your anointing, God, that breaks every yoke of bondage off of our neck. Because that's what your word says. The anointing will break the yokes. And your truth, you are the anointed one, Jesus. You are the way, the truth, and the life. So bring the truth to us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Were you aware that somebody said, I don't know who somebody was, but somebody said, preachers who preach in series are lazy. Well, I don't believe that. And just to prove that, I'm doing a one-off here, okay? But believe me, we will soon be lazily heading into another series, okay? When Jesus likened his followers to salt, all kinds of different images flashed through their minds because they understood the many different purposes that salt was used for. And by using this illustration, Jesus himself was teaching us about the influence that our lives are supposed to have on a world in which we live in. How many of you know that as believers, we should be a positive influence on the world around us? Amen? Amen. I mean, that's kind of Christianity 101, that we should positively influence people. The word salt in the Greek is the word halos, okay? And it describes the same kind or type of salt that we use for our food and when we cook today. It's no different. One thing we have to understand about salt is that in the present day, it's so readily available that it can easily be bought in most gas stations and really any grocery store. But in the early New Testament times, salt was very expensive and people actually treasured having it. And that was because salt was necessary in all kinds of areas in life. And high quality salt could only be found in a few places in Israel. One location at the time was known as the Hill of Salt, or it could be gathered from the salt pits nearby. I think you and I kind of take the presence of salt for granted, amen, because we can get it so readily. But in each one of these locations, the harvesting of salt was very, very expensive, and because of that, it made salt very costly for the people. Plus, it was quite rare, so it was seldom wasted and sparingly used and highly valued. So let's take a look at the ways that salt was used in the Bible and try to get understanding of the depth of what Jesus was meaning and saying to us when he said that you are the salt of the earth. Say, I am the salt of the earth. One way that salt was used was it was used as a preservative, okay? And when Jesus said this, you are the salt of the earth, many people pictured that in mind. They had that in mind. In biblical times, meat had a habit of quickly spoiling and rotting, especially in the excessive heat and warm temperatures in Israel. Consequently, they added salt to their meat, and it acted as a preservative to ward off the spoiling process. So, one of the uses of salt was in the preservation of meats and other kinds of perishable foods. Now, when God's working in our lives, all right, we become like that salt in that our very presence helps to preserve the truth and abate the corruption that is eating away at our world today. So those who heard Jesus' teaching that his followers should be the salt of the earth understood that he could have meant that through their influence and their presence, they would be a preserving force of the truth, all right? And I can explain that a little bit more. How many of you, when you're talking, and maybe I'm the only one, Bible scripture comes out of your mouth, all right? When we speak Bible truth, we preserve its truth, and we spread it around, okay? And so that's how we become a preserving person, or a preserving force to the truth in a world that's filled with rot and spoil and the decay of sin. Okay, secondly, salt was used as a flavor enhancer. Surprise. Salt is one of the most profound flavor enhancers that exist in the culinary world today. A person quickly becomes aware of how powerful it is when they eat food that doesn't have any salt on it. Yuck. Just yuck. Unsalted food can be monotonous and bland and uninteresting, but when salt is added, the flavor of that food is ignited. Amen? Amen. All right. Just like today, salt was used in biblical times to give food a stronger and richer flavor, and it was vital for every kitchen to have. But what's that saying to you and I today? It tells us that our presence should also change the flavor, please hear me, the flavor of society and the people around us as we bring the savor of Christ into our surroundings. Showing that Jesus and a relationship with him isn't monotonous. Come on, people. And it isn't bland, and it certainly isn't uninteresting. The Bible says to, and I love this, taste and see that the Lord is good. All right? We need to be people to lead people to taste and see that the Lord is good. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, "But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him." As believers, we should spread the sweet fragrance of the knowledge of God. Amen? I mean, hasn't your life been enriched since you've known Jesus? Amen? So we have to ask ourselves this morning, am I really changing the atmosphere with my presence? Does a room take on a different glow when I go in, when I bring the fragrance of the knowledge of God into that atmosphere? Or do I just kind of blend in? I'm going to tell you this morning, it is so tempting to just blend in with people. And it's so much more productive, and it becomes ministry, okay, when we can spread the fragrance of the Lord and the knowledge of him. Are you with me?
Yes.
Thirdly, there's six of these, so if you're getting bored, it's a little early. Thirdly, salt was also used as an antiseptic. In the ancient biblical world, there were where dirt and disease were common, and there were enemies to people's health, salt was used as an antiseptic. It was believed that salt would work like a disinfectant, especially in areas considered unclean or tainted and contaminated, or in areas that were so filthy that they could potentially become hazardous to one's health. What would happen is they would apply heavy doses of salt to the infected areas to sanitize them and to make them relatively germ-free. The application of salt was considered to be really advantageous. It was a good thing to do because they believed the application of it would sterilize non-sterile environments. If a rapidly spreading disease was known to exist in a village, the sick people were removed and relocated, and salt was immediately spread around to disinfect the contaminated area and prevent the further spread of disease. They believed the salt would assist in cleaning an environment from infection, or ridding an environment from infection. And as an antiseptic, salt was used in animal feed and in barnyards. Any place where sickness and disease could quickly spread among the animals. And a small dose of salt scattered on the fodder in a barnyard was served to deter sickness and disease among the animals.
Amen.
So when Jesus said we're to be the salt of the earth, those who heard him understood that he was saying through our influence and through our actions, we are called to be a kind of spiritual antiseptic to a world that's diseased with sin. Even a small dose of our spiritual salt, or the forgiveness that we carry within ourselves, the blood of Jesus, amen? The blood of Jesus is such a powerful disinfecting agent that it affects the spread of sin and moral decay around us. And we have to be people that are open to show that to others. You see, as the salt of the earth, the testimony of our life can help cleanse the sin from the atmosphere and from people's lives.
Amen.
You know, they look at us, they watch us, they try to figure out what's different with you. What is it that is causing you to be happy maybe in some pretty tough times? Well, it's the spiritual salt that lives inside of us. Fourthly, salt was also used as a medicinal and healing agent. It was used by physicians. It's kind of hard to think about doctors being around in those days, but remember, Luke was a doctor. But it was used by physicians and those who were employed in the field of medicine. For instance, if a person was severely wounded, salt was poured into their wound to sanitize it. I'm so glad that I don't live back then, all right? Can you imagine getting a deep cut and the doctor going, I got it, you know? No thanks. But when they thought that it drew out infection as well as speeding up the healing process. And it's a fact that salt has healing properties that cause wounds to heal more quickly, unfortunately. That's why in Bible days, when medications were so rare, salt was an indispensable product for doctors. In every home, business, and public place, salt was kept close at hand in case it was needed for the treatment of a cut or a scrape. When Jesus said that you and I were to be the salt of the earth, say, I'm the salt of the earth, those who heard him understood that we should be carriers of healing because of Christ living in us. A drawing agent, if you will, to a world that is suffering with all manner of sickness and disease and sin. All right, a drawing agent. You know, I couldn't write down everything that this implicates, but it's so much. But just be satisfied to know that you can be a drawing agent that draws the sin out, that can draw the sickness out. You have the Holy Spirit living in you. Amen? Amen? And that fact, and that fact alone, means you're enough to bring healing to somebody. And through the sharing of God's word, along with our personal ministry to those who are sick, we are supposed to be the salt of the earth that brings healing to those who are suffering. Amen? Amen. Are you with me? You see, the power of the Holy Spirit that we carry within ourselves is sufficient enough. Amen? It's sufficient enough to administer healing to those afflicted with sickness and disease in the authority that's given you and I in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen? Do you believe the power of the Holy Spirit lives in you? Do you believe that the power of the Holy Spirit dwells in you? Amen. Amen. So you can minister healing to those who need it. So as the salt of the earth, say it again, I'm the salt of the earth. We are the vehicle that God has chosen to carry the healing power to those who are struggling with sickness and sin. Sickness mentally, sickness physically, anyway. We have the answer. Amen? Amen. And then number five. Salt was used to give protection from and to drive away evil spirits. Get some salt. At the time Jesus said that we were to be the salt of the earth, Israel was under Roman rule, okay? And because of this, they regularly witnessed the pagan practices of the Roman religions. One practice of those pagan religions of the day was rubbing salt, get this, this is wild, was rubbing salt all over a newborn baby. Yes. To protect that child from evil spirits. Hey, they meant good, okay? And it was also used to drive away evil spirits from that child if any were trying to attach itself to them. A common belief of many pagan nations was that salt contained this magical power, okay? So much so that they regularly, I should not use that word, it's hard for me to pronounce, that they regularly would administer heavy quantities of it to the doorway of their homes and their businesses, believing it would create a strong barrier so that evil spirits couldn't come in. When we went to China, we went to the Dalai Lama's home, okay? we were looking for things to do, okay? And every doorway that you stepped through had a raised threshold. And that was because they believed that demons couldn't step over those thresholds, so they couldn't get in their house. This is really kind of the same thing, okay? These people believed that if they put salt all over, it would make a barrier. And they also spread salt on their windowsills, believing that it could keep evil spirits from entering their homes or places of business through the windows. So those who heard Jesus say that Christians were to be the salt of the earth understood that, again, they are to be a source of spiritual protection. Amen? How many of you believe that you can pray for people? Amen? You can be a source of spiritual protection and deliverance and safety and even freedom for people who have been assaulted by demonic powers. Are you with me? There are so many opportunities for you and I to be the salt of the earth. And I think that's what Jesus was trying to get at, that there is no shortage in our lives of having opportunity to share Jesus. We always think that the way that we should share it is by telling people about Jesus. And that is absolutely one for sure way. But the example of our lives and the things that we do and the things that we carry, all right, the things that we project are just as important. I mean, how can you expect someone to get saved after you have talked with them and you're a jerk? Or you're a, yeah, yeah. And by being spreaders of God's word and promise claimers, are you a promise claimer today? Is this cutting out like the keyboard? Oh, okay. Are you a promise claimer today?
Yes.
Okay. As well as using the name of Jesus, we can create spiritual barriers that are so strong, as in we can pray hedges of protection, amen, that are so strong that evil spirits are unable to successfully attack. Now that ought to make you shout this morning. Believers are to be carriers and barriers of protection, carriers of healing and barriers and carriers of deliverance. Amen? Okay. Lastly is number 6. So if you were getting bored with this, we're almost done. Salt was also a very important ingredient used by farmers to enrich the fertilizer and to fertilize their soil to produce larger crops of higher quality. Even a small amount of salt scattered sparingly on the ground could improve the quality of the soil and result in bigger harvests and healthier crops. So salt was viewed as an essential ingredient in the farming industry because it nourished and stimulated the earth to produce better crops. When Jesus said we were to be the salt of the earth, it could actually be translated, we are the salt of the soil, okay? The implication is this, that through our actions, again, we should have a positive influence and effect on the world in which we live. In other words, our very presence should make this world a better place to live in. Amen? 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 I mean, it's true. And the world we touch should become more productive, and the presence of God shining from our lives should positively impact the quality of life in the people around us. I don't think we realize how much just living our life is ministry, how much of living our life is an example to other people who are watching to see if we really do have something special. As a salt of the earth, each of us are to enrich the atmosphere wherever we go, simply because we carry the life of God in here. Amen? Does God live in here? Hey, does Jesus live in your heart? Then I'm talking to you this morning. For example, when we walk into a room or into a situation, the environment should change and be filled with more peace. Come on, people. And more joy, more hope, than it was when we arrived. And this is a statement that somebody, I just don't know who somebody is, made to me, and I'm going to repeat it. We should always leave an area better than it was before we arrived. That's what a Christian should do. When we walk into a room, we, no matter what kind of an environment we walk into, when we walk out, we should leave that room in better shape. Amen. Amen. We, you and I, we have the power to make a difference everywhere we go. In Colossians 4:6, the Apostle Paul also used the word salt to tell us what our conversations should be like. Somebody said, uh-oh. Colossians 4:6 says this, "Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one." This means, and if you're not taking notes, you probably should take notes on just this part, okay? This means instead of complaining and being critical and using negative words and gossiping along with the rest of the world, we should exert a spiritually positive influence to those around us. It is so easy, again, to join in and to blend in with the world. Amen? It's just my job. They don't need to know. It's just going to the grocery store. Nobody there needs to know it. We can have a spiritual, positive influence on anybody around us. So let me sum this up. Okay? When you're seasoned with salt, when you are the salt of the earth, say, I am the salt of the earth. You will speak not only words that bring preservation, you speak words that flavor life and make it taste better, taste and see that the Lord is good. I just love that. You should make people thirsty or hungry, okay, to taste and see that the Lord is good. You speak words that disinfect and free those who once were contaminated, words that bring healing to the sick and deliverance to the people that need it, and words that are filled with protection, safety, and hope. Words that are so faith-filled. Now, don't you want to be that kind of person that you speak words that are so faith-filled that your conversation doesn't negate your claim to what God has promised? Amen. Yes. Amen. Okay. Words that are filled with protection, safety, and hope. Words that are so faith-filled that they create a blessed environment wherever you go. That's what being the salt of the earth means. And that's what Jesus meant. And as the salt of the earth, we should always be aware that there are many opportunities and ways to minister Jesus around us. Here I go. I don't know about you, but I want to be that person who speaks the positive things, the person who brings the answers, the person who doesn't perpetuate the argument. Are you with me? I want to be a person who speaks words that are so faith-filled that people are blessed. Amen? Amen. Amen. Why don't you bow your head with me?